fascinating conversation with Dr. Sean O'Mara. I would say Father Simons will be joining me a little bit later in this hour, too, so stay with me. But right now, what we do every day at this time is stop, we pump the brakes, and we pray. We join together for those intentions, those needs we have. I know a lot of people are struggling with obesity. There are people dealing with anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, mental health disorders. There's all sorts of issues that so many have to battle. And there are quite often wonderful medicines and medical treatments that can help bring healing. But I always love to turn and ask God for his divine touch. And quite often he leads us down the path that he wants us. And let's pray that you will receive the healing you need, the blessings that you are seeking, the relationships that you want, and for answers to all those prayers that you're crying out to God for. I'd like to pray for Father Marty Gleason. He passed away. Just received word of this today from some of my colleagues here at the network. He was the spiritual advisor and the director of the Lord Teach Me to Pray. And just a good friend of one of my colleagues here, Garen, and was a wonderful teacher. His work has taught tens of thousands throughout the U.S. about Ignatian prayer. And want to lift him up and just pray for the repose of his soul, and let's pray for all those who really are in need of God's mercy. A couple of emails came in. I'll share some petitions today. Especially, would you please pray for my husband to be kind and to accept the care given to him? He needs constant supervision, and my heart is broken. I just cannot continue at home. So we'll pray for caregivers, those who are difficult, you know, patients and loved ones. This person says, Drew, could you please pray for me? Now, my heart was touched by this intention when it came out. Imagine this. She says, I found my sister deceased Saturday in her apartment. Can you imagine finding your sister? She had a mild stroke previously, but wasn't feeling well earlier in the morning. We were very close. In fact, my sister was my best friend. Please pray for me. I'm having a really hard time. Thank you for the chaplain. And I just can't imagine going in and seeing your sibling. They're dead. And my heart goes out to you, Deborah. We're praying for you and, of course, for the repose of the soul of your sister. Dr. Weigel, thanks for writing to me. Doctor says, my 8-year-old granddaughter, Lily, would like you to pray for her dad. He's not a very good father, and she'd like prayers for him to open his heart to Jesus so he can learn how to love her. Wow, huh? I'm going to pray for that father right now, Lord, that you bring about a great conversion in his heart, that he can recognize the gift that you've given him in that beautiful daughter. And I just pray for all families where there's dysfunction, where there is need of healing, Lord, and I ask you to heal. And then finally, with this intention, this person said to me, look, I've been unhappy. I've been in an unhappy marriage for the last 20 years. In fact, 25 this year. I'm married to a husband who's an egotistical narcissist who believes he knows everything. We have two daughters. I have two daughters, one 22 and one who's 11. My oldest lives in North Carolina with her fiance and daughter, and she's been attending mental health care for the last 2 years for extreme anxiety and depression. My daughter, who's also a juvenile diabetic, is having anxiety while in high school. My husband didn't want to accept it, and therefore nothing was done to help my children. My 11-year-old began having sleep problems towards the end of the school year, as well as anxiety, and was not able to sleep. She wasn't able to attend school due to her anxiety, and she was diagnosed with insomnia and is getting counseling. My husband, again, doesn't want to accept any of these issues. The home we live in has become toxic. I have gotten my daughter set up for sessions with a counselor. I'm also seeing a counselor, but I just can't keep my daughter in such a toxic environment. And she's asking us for prayer that God will send the right people into their lives and that may show her husband what is occurring so that he could help to find the financial help they need to remove us from our house into a safe, nurturing environment until her husband is able to agree to seek counseling. So she goes on in the email, but she's asking prayers for her husband that his heart and soul will be convicted, that he'll seek a relationship with God, and they'll join her in the Catholic faith. So again, it seems like a lot of these intentions that are coming in deal with relationships, brokenness, family problems. Let's ask the Lord today in particular way to really go and to heal the wounds of the family. And joining me today for prayer is my colleague, Beth. And Beth, anything you want to pray for before we start our prayer?
Just somewhat general intention, just for friends and family and colleagues and all their intentions too.
That sounds great. I'll ask you too. I asked yesterday for this, but if you could pray for a special intention that I have. I have several intentions that I'm praying for, but there's one that I'd really appreciate your prayers for. So if you could remember me in your prayers, I'd be very grateful. We'll turn to our Heavenly Father now, and we'll pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll go to Oregon first. Mary's listening to us there. Mary, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon. Hi, Mary. You're on the air. Go right ahead. Put Mary back in the queue. Mary, I'll try to come back to you. Stella is listening to us in Whittier, California. Stella, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Hi.
I was calling. My dad's having surgery as we speak right now. They found a tumor in his right lung, and I am praying that God is merciful and that everything will turn out good and that we get good results.
All right. Well, be at peace, okay? I know how stressful it is when your loved one, especially your father, is in surgery. And you could not have gotten through on a better day, Stella. You have your whole spiritual family here praying for you. That means your dad is going to be blanketed in a lot of prayer. So let's lift him up right now. I want to pray for you, for your heart, for your family, for peace, for consolation. Let's pray for those surgeons right now. Lord, I ask you to be the hands of those surgeons as he is in this process of having that tumor resected. And I pray for healing. I pray for anyone having respiratory issues, pulmonary issues, anyone with cancer, anyone undergoing surgery at this moment in time, and anybody in recovery. And I just, but I know life is difficult. It's filled with many sufferings and many crosses, and I ask that they can be meritorious. But I also ask for your warm, your loving embrace, your healing touch as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, who's up next, guys? Is it Mary in Oregon? Mary, good afternoon. Thank you for praying with us.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. I would please like prayer for a close family member who is struggling with suicidal thoughts and who does not feel close to the Lord or like they have what it takes to be close to him. And they just struggle with anxiety and depression and just a whole ball of things.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's look. I'm glad you got through too, Mary. I'm glad we didn't lose you here. That's such an important prayer.
Thank you.
And we'll trust that family member right now who struggles with these suicidal ideations to have a real healing, a real conversion. And Lord, I do ask for any soul right now, wherever they may be, who doesn't feel their life is worth living, who's overcome by anxiety or fear or depression or financial hardship, or sees no way out of their situation, the jail sentence ahead of them, who's thinking about taking their life. I ask you, hold back their hand. Let them know that you've created them for both mission and purpose. And I pray for their loved ones who often are filled with trepidation, anxiety, and fear over this. I just ask you to enter in and to bring healings, to heal those in these situations. Again, I give you those with anxiety disorders, Lord, those with depression. Lord, I ask for those who've lost loved ones, especially by suicide, they can find the healing that they too seek. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Gary is listening in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Gary, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. And thank you so much for all you do. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate that.
Yes. Sure. Well, thank you. I just want to pray a couple of things here. My wife has not been feeling the best lately, and she's had a couple of blood tests that have come back abnormal. So I'm just hoping that they can figure out what it is and treat it, that it's nothing serious as well. And then my sister-in-law had an abnormal pap smear on last week, and they did a procedure on Tuesday, and she's supposed to get the results back today. So we're praying that it's not cancer or whatever it is that can be treated and cured. So for these, I am praying for. So thank you so much, Drew.
You got it, Gary. I want to pray for you, too, because I know you're in the middle of all that, and I know how difficult it is when you love somebody and they're suffering. So I want to pray for your wife who's not feeling well. And Lord, I just pray for those who have these abnormal test results that are coming back, those who are waiting for test results as well. And I just ask for your mercy. I do for healing, Lord. That's the intention today. So many of these intentions have come in asking for these types of healing. And I just give you... give you every intention Gary put forward. I'll give you those needs I have. And Jake, I know you're on Twitter right now too, so let's bring you in before we pray this next decade. And what are people asking for here? What are you seeing?
Definitely seeing a current of prayer intentions on Twitter, Drew, that you know, we need to pray for those with cancer. Specifically, there's a person named Mick Miller who hasn't been able to have chemotherapy. And so we are praying today that his tumor marker tests will come back successfully. And Elizabeth is lifting up a woman named Tiffany. She's a young mom of two girls who have stomach cancer, and well, she's been told that she has less than a year to live. Also a man with four young kids who has terminal brain cancer, and Beth praying for a family friend who has a rare form of leukemia. So yeah, all these intentions related to cancer today, certainly something we need to pray about.
Well, Lord, we ask for healing for all of these, and I give you the needs, wants, and desires of all who now are praying with me, and we turn as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mark, thanks for joining me. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hey, Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you doing today?
Hi. Yeah, my fiance I took her to adoration, and she wanted to become Catholic.
Oh, good.
She just adored it. It was beautiful for her. And then she wanted to marry me, and now she don't want to have nothing to do with me.
Oh, no.
Nothing.
No.
I don't get it.
What happened? What did she say?
I don't know what to do. And I'm destroyed. I'm destroyed.
Mark, what was the reason she gave you?
Excuse me?
What was the reason she gave you for leaving?
No.
She didn't give you any reason? She just left.
She just left.
All right.
But she wanted to be so Catholic so much.
Well, let's
and
look.
She just left.
All right, well, let's do this, Mark. Let's pray. I mean, if she's drawn to the faith, let's pray that those graces that I know God is giving her will manifest in her, okay? And if she is meant to be with you and you with her, let's pray for that right now. Because the Lord says, as we pray this prayer, if it's compatible with his will, you know, the prayer will be answered. So if it's meant to be, I really believe that this prayer will have an effect. But I know how difficult it is. Your heart is broken. And I pray for the Lord right now, all those who have gone through difficult relationships, going through divorce, going through breakups, have lost those that they care about. And St. Faustina wrote in her diary, Mark, she says, you know, do not despair. All right. I know it's easy to do that right now, but instead she wrote that we have to trust and throw ourselves into the arms of mercy. She says, do it like a child would into the arms of a beloved mother. So as those pains of the heart well up, as that anxiety, that loss, that sense of loss wells up, throw yourselves into the arms of Our Lady. Throw yourself into the arms of our loving Father. And she wrote that the Lord told her that no soul that has ever called upon God's mercy has been disappointed or brought to shame. And that the Lord delights in souls that place their trust in his goodness. So, Lord, we trust in your goodness. We trust in your mercy. I pray for Mark and for this relationship and for all relationships right now that are going through difficult times, that have come to an end, where there's loss, where there's infidelity, where there's brokenness, where there's dysfunction, where there's abuse, where there's hurt. And I ask for healing. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Marie is listening in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Marie, good afternoon.
Hi. My brother is still in ICU and he's trying to breathe on his own. Mm-hmm. I called about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
We just want him to be able to get out of bed so he could breathe on his own. He had a bypass, and then he had to get his colon removed.
Wow.
Half his colon, excuse me.
Wow.
And he's going through a difficult time recovering. So could you please lift him up?
Yeah, you got it, Marie. It's a good day to call, a good day for this particular intention, because I just see the current that seems to be flowing through today's broadcast, and so many people are really struggling and in need of healing, physical healing as well. So let's really ask God together right now to bring healing to your brother who's in ICU. And Lord, I give you all those right now who are in critical care, but I give you all those who love and who are concerned as well for their sick loved ones. And Heavenly Father, I just ask for miracles. You know, I've seen Christ, you know, work so powerfully in the lives of souls and bringing about healing today. We've seen it in the scriptures. And I just ask that by virtue of our prayers, by the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, that from this moment forward, those who are ill, those who are suffering, those who are mourning, those who are struggling with their situations, that those situations begin to change, that your grace penetrate, your presence be felt, and that miracles begin to unfold. So with faith, with confidence, with trust, we turn to you and pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And do me a favor too. You know, write to me as God works these miracles in your life. I get them every day. I hear about how God has manifested. Just write to me, drew@relevantradio.com, and the byline there or the memo line, just put answered prayer and tell me your miracle. All right. And then if you need prayer, you can also email me, drew@relevantradio.com. I pray for you every day. I was at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help just the other day. And I remembered you and your intentions there because you're part of my spiritual family here. And please, 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 pray for me. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Keeping you better informed, educated, and inspired. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so great to be here with you today. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. And if you are new to the broadcast or you enjoy praying with me, I pray every day at that time. You can, as I said, always send me your prayer petitions. And so good to just gather together. I think it's one of the world's largest prayer meetings. And what you could do, too, is tell others. You know, the Lord promised anyone who spreads devotion to his mercy, he would protect like a tender mother her infant. And also made another promise a little bit later in the diary to St. Faustina. And we often are reminded of this during the great novena that leads up to the Feast of Mercy, where he said, those who spread the honor of my glory, they will shine with a special brilliance in the next life. Now, what that means, I'm not sure. But it sounds good to me, right? So spread divine mercy. Tell others about the chaplet, okay? Get them plugged in here. You know, yesterday you heard a great interview we had with James Herson. I was sharing the story of Ariana Grande's new perfume. She's got a perfume out called God is a Woman. God is a Woman. And part of that discussion surrounded the fact that the scriptures, well, they're really clear that we address God with male pronouns, right? There are only a couple of times in the Bible that God's referred to in feminine terms. I actually went back and was I was actually looking at this the other day because I'm thinking, you know, could somebody make an argument for that? And if so, what would it be? There is an area in Isaiah 66 when God says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. And then there's chapter 49 of the same prophet. Can a mother forget her infant? Be without tenderness for the child of her womb. Even should she forget, I will never forget you. And then there was a time that Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, right? And said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you. How many times I yearn to gather your children together as a hen gathers her young under her wings. But you were unwilling. So there you've got, you know, a couple different passages. Of course, look, we as Catholics, you know, we don't believe that God is either male, you know, nor female, right? We don't believe he's either God nor female. He's God. So he transcends gender and sex. But throughout scripture, throughout the Bible, besides those verses that I mentioned, God is referred to in the masculine, Jesus himself, right? Who's the best teacher of all? Who's the one that we should turn to, right? The Son of God, right? Jesus. He tells us that, you know, God is our Father. He taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, right? To pray our Father. He didn't say, you know, when you pray, say our Mother who art in heaven. No, he said our Father. That's masculine. So the question, of course, is why? You know, years ago, no one would have even thought to ask that question, but we live in a very unique time, don't we? We talk about all of this gender confusion. We live in a time where feminism has risen like never before. So all of a sudden, people are questioning, you know, genders and are using weird pronouns. And as a result of it, we see God being questioned. James Hurston, who was with me yesterday, mentioned that Jesus himself taught us how to pray. And I just thought I'd play a real quick clip from Dennis Prager. We thought about this question after yesterday's show, and I thought, yeah, it's a great, great thing to really explore. Let's talk about God, his nature, his essence, the Trinity. How should we view God? And if you want to join us, of course, you're welcome to dial in anytime. But this clip comes from Dennis Prager on why God has historically been depicted as he.
One of the criticisms many people make against the Bible is that it depicts God in male terms. The most obvious example is God is referred to as he. Why did the Bible do this? Well, here's the answer. Because the Bible is preoccupied with making a kinder, less violent, more just world. If you share these goals, and I suspect you do, then you'll have to agree the Bible made the right decision. Before I explain, however, I need to add an obvious caveat. The God of the Bible is neither male nor female. God transcends gender. What I'm talking about here is why God is depicted in male terms in the Bible. Gender-wise, the Bible had three choices: masculine, he; feminine, she; or neuter, it. We can readily rule out neuter. For one thing, neuter nouns don't exist in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, which, after all, first introduced this God to us. For another, the biblical God is a personal God to whom we can and must relate. And we cannot relate to, let alone obey or love, an it. The Bible depicts God in masculine terms because, one, the Hebrew Bible's primary concern is making a good world. Two, a good world can only be achieved by making good people. And three, the people who commit nearly all the world's violence are males. Therefore, it is in both men's and women's interests to depict God in the masculine.
All right, so let's talk about it. If you've got a question, comment, love to go ahead and have you join us. I am welcoming to the broadcast, though, a voice you hear quite regularly, one of our favorites. That's Father Richard Simon. You can check his show out every afternoon. He is on the hour before I go live, and he joins us today. I always say, hey, he's doing double duty. And I'm so grateful for his time. Father, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good to be back. Good to be back. This is a topic of which I have thought a great deal.
Well, that's great. I thought about you this morning. We were talking about it. We're saying, yeah, after yesterday's show, I never really gave much thought to it, but let's talk about it. I'd love to hear what you ruminated on, what you came up with. I mean, why do you think we refer to God in the masculine?
Well, the major reason we refer to God in the masculine, well, first of all, that idea of God as a woman, no, God's not. God, as you said earlier, St. Thomas Aquinas said, God is not male or female. God is love. We believe Hebrew thought and Islamic thought never say what God is. We do. We believe we know what God is. God is love. God is relationship. Relationship is not masculine or feminine. So the idea that God is one, well, the goddesses were women. Yeah, okay, we can go back to worshiping goddesses. Fine, if you want, but you bring the live chicken. I'm not. This idea that God is a man or a woman. God is relationship, the perfect family. St. John Paul the Great said, and the reason that I call God Father is because Jesus did. I address the Father. And I speak about the Son, because that's what Jesus did. Well, Jesus was a man of his times, you know, and he wouldn't have realized God. Nonsense. In the ancient world, there were lots of goddesses. If Jesus believed that God was a woman, he would have done it. Well, he wouldn't have wanted to offend people. He lived in a time where very close to Nazareth, people had no concept of how small the Holy Land was, and that a great deal of it was Greek. There were temples within walking distance of Nazareth to goddesses that were serviced by priestesses. And Jesus didn't go that way. He perceived God as Father. And why did he perceive God as Father? Because fatherhood is always adoptive. Think about it. You're not a father because you engender a child. You're a father because you raise a child. In the ancient world, the Romans did this, and the Greeks did something similar, that if a child was indisputably the child, the genetic child of a certain man, that child was placed on the floor in front of the man. If he walked away, that child was literally thrown in the garbage. If he picked the child up, then he was the father and responsible for raising that child. And if it was incontrovertible that this child was not his genetic child, if he picked it up, he was still the father. Fatherhood is always adoptive. Motherhood's necessary. You know who your mama is. You don't know who your daddy is. You know, unless your mother tells you. I mean, I hate to be crude, but that old saying, who's your daddy, that's very real. And motherhood is always adoptive, or motherhood is always natural. You're in that woman for 9 months, and then if you do it the traditional way, she is your source of food and comfort for another couple years. So motherhood is adoptive. And there are four people in the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Bride. The mystery of the feminine in God is wrapped up in the church. That the church is a bride, a mother, a woman, a family, and this relationship is God. If you feminize God, and I think that Dennis Prager had a point. If you feminize God, you masculinize woman, and that's exactly what's happening. And it's a dangerous thing, this relationship of Father and Son, Holy Spirit, and the Bride. This is, you know, and the Bride is incarnated in a certain sense in the Blessed Mother. You know, she is the icon of the Church, and that's why we Catholics love her so much. To call God Mother is to masculinize women. So that's my opinion.
Some would argue, though, Father, that God transcends gender, transcends sex. So why can't you refer to God what you want? Refer to him in feminine terms or even neutral terms.
You know, in a funny kind of way.
Call him it.
I don't refer to God. You know, Jews didn't talk about God. They still don't. They talk about heaven. They talk about the Almighty. They talk about the name. You know, this idea that we have that, well, the Father is God. No, the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. They're a relationship, and we can't get past this sort of tritheism. But we only have one God we worship. God is not male or female. We experience him as Father because he adopts us. He chooses us. We experience the church as Mother because she embraces us. I remember when I was at St. Thomas of Canterbury, that big soup kitchen, there was nothing more motherly in a way than that soup kitchen and the services that we did for the poor there. And it's a real thing, you know, well, we can refer to God as Mother. No, we can't. This may sound funny. People never think about what the word God means. God is an Indo-European word that means the one to whom prayers are addressed. Deus, Dios, Dieu, all those Latin words, that means the shining one. But God is YHWH. That when he is the source of existence. I use the masculine pronoun. But, you know, I tend to refer to the Almighty when I think about it, because my experience of this supreme being is Father, Son, Holy Spirit expressed in the church. And you know, that kind of, well, we call God Mother. These people don't know God, and they don't know the church, and they don't love the church. So this is something really gets me hot under the collar.
Well, I love it. My guest today, if you're just tuning in, Father Richard Simon, we're talking about God, all right? And it sounds like a broad topic, but who is he? How do we refer to him? You know, Christ is the only begotten Son. We've got the Trinity. We can take a look at the Trinity as well. So if you got a question, you want to get in and join the conversation, the number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let me ask you a personal question outside of the God thing. I mean, you said that you never refer to God as God or him or...
Well, not never. I mean, I talk about...
Right, God, no, I know what you mean, but you say you refer to him as Almighty, et cetera. Yeah, who do you pray to? You've got the Blessed Trinity. Do you go? Nobody comes to the Father, you know, but through the Son. I mean, do you pray directly to God, to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to all three? Sometimes people get very confused about how to direct prayer.
This is something that we would talk about in the old days of the charismatic movement when we were still calling ourselves Catholic Pentecostals. Mm-hmm. You'd go to a prayer meeting and you just knew at this particular meeting you were communing with the Father. At this meeting you were communing with the Holy Spirit. At this gathering you were communing with the Holy Spirit. At this one you were communing with all three. So it's a communing. It depends entirely. I think when I worship, I say Father. When I complain, I talk to Jesus. And when I haven't a clue, I talk to the Holy Spirit. That's how I do it, you know? And I ask for the prayers of the church. You know, I pray with the church. And when I talk to God, and, you know, when he talks back, it may be the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, or all three of them talking real loud. That means I'm in trouble.
In the Old Testament, you have God speaking, you know, to the prophets, to Moses, Abraham. New Testament, of course, we've got Christ, the Holy Spirit, working through the apostles and the Acts in our own time. How do you see all that working today in our own day and age?
Oh, you know, people talk about prophetic witness and all that. I don't think they understand prophecy at all. Prophecy is the more primitive word for prophet is a seer. A prophet is someone who can see the world, the real world, through the veil. And I've known a few real prophets. And it isn't just somebody who stands up in a pulpit and yells. It's someone who hears the Lord very clearly. And, you know, we live in a time of lots of prophecy, some of it very inaccurate and some of it very inauthentic, but some of it very real, you know. And I love the title of the Blessed Mother, Queen of Angels, because an angel is a messenger, and she's the messenger par excellence. We see that at Guadalupe, at Fatima, at Lourdes. So we live in a time that isn't that distinct from the Old Testament in some ways.
Yeah, this Marion era that we're in is pretty amazing. Actually, the anniversary of my first broadcast here on Relevant Radio was on August 2nd, the Feast of the Queen of Angels. So it's interesting you said that. I'll tell you what, hang with me. You know how this works. I need to take a short pause. Father Simon will be with me when we come back. I only have him for maybe another 10 minutes. So if you want to get in, we're talking about God. And I know it can be confusing, the whole concept of the Trinity, you know, always existing. Try to get your head around not having a creator, right? Always being and always will be, right? And then some people say, well, I don't understand, you know, the Son being eternally begotten of the Father. What does that mean? We'll take a look at this. Many great saints have had encounters. Faustina had a Trinitarian experience. It's how she received the chaplet of divine mercy. But we'll talk more about God and our understanding of his nature when we return.
Your life, your values, connected.
Connected.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. It's good to be with you today, speaking this afternoon with Father Richard Simon, taking a look, kind of a follow-up to what you and I talked about yesterday. We talked a little bit about Ariana Grande's new perfume that's out, and she dubbed it God as a Woman. Some think she's got a cosmetic line coming, and she tried to register that title or that name. And it made us think. Part of the conversation we had yesterday was about God. Can we look at him as a woman? Can we look at him as a male? Does God have a gender? So I invited Father Simon on the air to explore this with us in greater detail. And Father, I do want to go to the phones. Before I do, though, I want to talk. Some people might be confused because many people believe that the Father eternally generates the Son. As humans, of course, you know, generation comes from the union of two sexes. The woman brings it, you know, for the child. But does the human to God analogy fail in the case of the Trinity? Maybe explain that union of the Son and the Spirit and the Father.
Well, you know, another way to look at the Trinity, the best way we can talk about the Trinity in human language is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But you can also think of the Trinity as the speaker, the word spoken, and the breath that speaks it. The Father is the speaker, the Son is the word spoken. So that idea of generation, one doesn't just in the physical world, we're generated by physical intimacy. Mm-hmm. But this is a spiritual world, and so one is generated, in a sense, by speaking. The entire creation, at some level, is generated. God spoke the word, and the world came into existence. But God spoke his love for his Son eternally. You can also think of Jesus as the heart of God. That degree of unity we only desire. We long for unity. But God, as St. John Paul said, I quote him again, God is the perfect family. Your family is like a family. When he said that, I thought, well, on a good day. You know, that God is this perfect relationship. And we, because we live in an imperfect and sinful world, we can't wrap our heads around it. It isn't a perfect analogy. Generation in the world reflects the generation of God, but God is doing it in the full way. So God generates by speaking. That's why Jesus is the Word.
Yeah. Now let's grab a call or two. We have a couple of minutes. Donna's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Donna, good afternoon.
Hi there. I just turned on your show and I heard you talking about it, and it blows me away because Jesus is a man. What is the debate? I don't understand. He's God, so he's a man. So no. I just think that settles the question.
I'm glad you called.
I don't understand the debate.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, go ahead, Father. Let's explain.
It's a purely political debate. It's purely political.
explain that, Father.
Well, yeah, it just is purely political. I think ultimately it's demonic because. You know, the devil hates women and children. Mm-hmm. I mean, you read Ecclesiasticus, Isaiah the 9th chapter, through the envy of the devil, death unto the world. What's the devil got to be envious about? A man and a woman and their coming together create something eternal. The body is eternal. And so in some sense, a man and a woman share the creativity of God. So the devil hates art and he hates families. He especially hates women and children. And if he can masculinize women, he thinks he's sticking his thumb in God's eyes. So it's a demonic thing, And I think much of our politics these days, politics and art, are pretty demonic. So,
Donna, let me
flesh and blood be war.
Father, let me jump in. Maybe I misinterpreted what Donna was saying. Donna, are you saying that Jesus is simply a man, that he's not God?
Well, no, but he's a man. He wasn't born a woman. I mean, he didn't come not born, but he came into as a man. He's showing us he's God. He's God. I mean, my goodness, guys.
All right.
It just doesn't make sense. But anyway, he's God.
No, it doesn't.
So he's good enough for me.
The devil doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Father,
amen,
you bring up a good you bring up a good point, though. I only have a few minutes left, and then I'm going to change gears. But you bring up a good point. Satan has unbelievable enmity, hatred for the human race, and in particular for women. You know, you think about the creative order. What was the very last thing God created? It was woman. We see this, I think, today more than ever, don't we, in our modern society, how we have these gender, we have all this gender confusion. We have the attack on the womb. We have the attack on women. We have the disorientation with radical feminism. I mean, he has really, really gone ahead and attacked both family, but in particular, put women in his crosshairs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that women are, this idea of somehow that women are weak, I've never. And often my background's German. I've known some pretty strong women in my life. You know, that's nuts. And the idea that we have this sacred gift of creativity, both in art and in the love of a man and woman, the devil can't stand it.
Well, Father, I only have a few moments left. I want to thank you for being here. I want you to stay with me, though, because this is probably going to be one of the last broadcasts that I do with my my colleague Jake. And I know Jake, you married him. We were at the wedding together, you and I.
Well, his wife married him, but
theologically, contextually speaking, here,
that's good, Father.
Yes.
That's very good.
Oh, my gosh. But let me say this. Father Simon, if it weren't for you, Kathy and I would not be together. So the reason why Kathy started talking to me is because she found out that I knew Father Simon. So he literally was the glue for our relationship and our marriage. And, of course, he married us at St. Lambert. I will say that he did. So, Father, thank you so much for everything over the years. And, Drew, thank you so much. You guys are just...
Thank you, Jake.
You guys are family. And we're going to keep in touch for sure. You can't get rid of me that fast.
Yeah. All right. Well, that sounds great. Jake, what's one of your favorite memories? What's one of your favorite memories over the past 6 years working with me?
Oh, my gosh. Favorite memories. Oh, my goodness. That is...
What's your worst memory?
Easy. No, I'm just kidding. One of the memories...
Saying yes, I'd work with you, right?
No. So many memories, but the positive memory that I have right now, I remember speaking to a young boy named Nicholas. Nicholas, I think, was like maybe 10 years old. And he was calling in asking advice for his vocation, saying, hey, how do I know if I'm called to the priesthood? And I remember that moment was definitely Holy Spirit. It was Holy Spirit inspired for sure. And Father Simon, you were the one that helped me with my vocation, because before I met Kathy, I went to Father Simon for vocational discernment. And it was Father Simon's advice that he gave me that I was able to share with Nicholas on the air. So I just definitely saw that as like a Holy Spirit hardcore charged moment there, and I was just so grateful that God was able to, first of all, use Father Simon to help me, and then God was able to use me to help this young boy named Nicholas. And I think we should all pray for Nicholas and all the young men, all the young women who are discerning their vocation. I'm just so passionate about impacting the next generation, and Relevant Radio has given me the opportunity to do that, and I'm just very humbled. So
that sounds great. And Father, I want to introduce you to Maggie too. Maggie, Jake has been training her, and Maggie, it's good to have you with us. She worked with, her last stint was with Dave Ramsey.
That's right.
Maggie's been thrown into the fire. Jake's been her teacher. And how's it going first week here, Maggie?
It's kind of like being in the eye of a hurricane, to be honest.
It really is. A lot goes on behind the scenes, right?
It's great.
I said to Maggie, you see how the sausage is made.
Yeah, it's great. I never knew how many antics happen when Drew's in the booth.
Yes. So you guys do that. Well,
antics is an understatement.
Radio is not that exact a science.
That's so true. I always get the pleasure of getting to listen to you, Father, before I come to air. I know Jake and Maggie are busy working, grabbing audio and sound and putting the show together. And It's always a delight to have you on there. So, Father, thank you for being here. It has been a delight.
Oh, it's a delight.
Broadcasting and with you.
Nice to meet Maggie.
Pleasure yeah, you'll work with her
and,
in the future.
And I'm just and Jake, I'm so happy. Oh yeah, I'm sure. But Jake, I you and Kathy are so dear to me, and I look forward to seeing you frequently. We got a lot of connections.
Yeah, we still owe you that free lunch that I promised you on our wedding day, Father. That free lunch is going to happen. So.
Boy, Jake, that's 6 years. All right, well, slow on the payback.
So good to talk to you.
All right, Padre, enjoy your time. Okay, have a great week. We'll tune into you tomorrow.
All right. Blessings.
We'll catch you. That's Father Richard Simon.
I'll tune into you tomorrow.
Nice, Father. I got less than a minute to go. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. It's always good to be here. When we come back, Father Spitzer is going to be joining us, one of the most brilliant people I know. My heartfelt thanks to Jake for the phenomenal job he has done and continues to do on the show. And a warm welcome to Maggie. Stay with me. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back on the other side.